They provoked him to anger with their invention, and the plague breaking upon them. Verse 30, then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. Phinehas, I read this in Numbers 25. It's actually a great story. Numbers chapter 25, I'll turn over, you don't have to turn over there, but in Numbers 25 it says that Phinehas, when he saw this Israelite man walk that Midianite woman through the camp in front of Moses, Phinehas, he was one of the judges that Moses had appointed to kind of watch over the people. Phinehas took his spear. He followed this man and woman who were committing unspeakable acts, wicked, in front of Moses in an act of defiance, took his spear, killed them both. Wow, that's a big deal. He just executed judgment like it says in Psalm. Took care of business. Killed them both. Wow. Wow. It says he stood. He stood. Numbers 25, I'll read these verses real quick. Numbers chapter 25. Verse 11, right after Phinehas had committed this act of taking care of business and taking the man and woman and killed them and as they were sinning against God, it says, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. This is God talking. Turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. This is God talking. And he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Man, Phinehas stood up. Phinehas stood for what was right. Stood for God. Executed judgment. Did what he believed was right for him to do for the sake of God. And it says that God, when God saw that, God said, you know what? Because of what Phinehas did, because of his zeal for me, because of his devotion to me and what I want, I'm going to turn my wrath away from the children of Israel. I'm going to give them another chance. I'm not going to destroy them with the plague. Because of one man that stood up. Look at verse 31 of Psalm 106. We'll start in verse 30 again. I'll read verse 30. Psalm 106:30 says, then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. Next verse, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. That one act of standing for Phinehas lasted forever. Forever. God promised Phinehas that this, he would give him an everlasting priesthood. And it says in verse 31 of Psalm 106, that act that he did for God, that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. Standing for Christ will bring eternal reward. Standing for Christ will bring eternal reward. I'm going to give you four things I believe we need to stand for as Christians. As Christians, there's some things we need to stand for. And number one is this, just what I just said. Number one, stand for Jesus. Number one, stand for Jesus. Phinehas decided in his heart that he was going to do what he believed God wanted him to do. He was going to stick with what God said. And Phinehas executed judgment, did what he had to do to make sure that God was number one, that what God wanted was happening. And he stood for Jesus. Phinehas stood for Jesus. As Christians, we need to realize how important that is to stand for Jesus. How important it is to make sure that we stand as Christians for Jesus Christ. Standing for God. You know, standing for Jesus is what's going to change the city of Jackson. Standing for Jesus is what's going to lead us to be able to see people saved and baptized, join the church, and see the city of Jackson change. It starts from standing for Jesus. Hey, standing for Jesus is what will change your family. Standing for Jesus will make your family exactly what God wants it to be. What God ordained the family to be. Standing for Jesus will change your life. Will make your life what God wants it to be. Standing for Jesus will change the world. That's what it's all about, standing for Christ. Standing for Christ, realizing that God and Jesus Christ, He's the most important thing. He should be number one. Standing for Him. During the year 1900, the country of China was going through what they called China's Boxer Rebellion of 1900. Just kind of like terrorists and just wars. I don't know all about it, but I read a story today. During China's Boxer Rebellion of 1900, these Chinese terrorists, or they call them insurgents, went to a missions home I can't think of the word right now, a mission station where there were Christians there. Young students studying the Word of God and almost like a little small college, but they call it a mission station. And these Chinese terrorists went to that station and overtook it. They surrounded the whole station. They blocked off every entrance, every gate they blocked off, except for one gate. And in that one gate, right inside the doors, they took a large cross and laid it down flat, right inside the camp, right inside the station. And they stood around outside. And word was passed into the students, from the terrorists into the students, and this is what the orders were. If you want your freedom, if you want to be free, you will walk on top of the cross. You will trample the cross. If you walk across the cross, stand on the cross, and walk out the gate, you'll have your freedom. Anybody who doesn't will be shot on sight immediately. So the students feared for their lives. They were scared. I mean, out of nowhere, these people had come and taken over the station. And now the only way out was to walk across the cross, walk across the cross, out the gate. So the first student was, you know, scared for his life. So he got to the gate and he, as much as he didn't want to, but he stepped on top of the cross, walked across the cross, out the gate to his freedom. They let him go. Second student saw that and said, we got to do what we got to do, right? We want to stay alive. He stepped on top of the cross and really began to trample the cross, just walking on top of it. Out the door, freedom. The next five students did the same thing. Seven students made it out free. Just walked across the cross, walked on top of the cross to their freedom, out the gate to their freedom. Well, the eighth student was a young lady. This young lady said, I'm not going to stay on the cross. No, no, no. I'm not going to commit this sacrilegious act. No, 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 no. This cross means something to me. This cross is important to me. I'm not going to do that. So instead of standing on top of the cross and walking out, she instead knelt by the cross, prayed for strength to God, stood up, walked around the cross to face the firing squad. She was killed instantly. Well, the remaining 92 students in that mission station saw this young lady's act of boldness, act of courage, act of dedication to God. And the remaining 92 students followed this young lady's example and walked around the cross to face the firing squad. And the bodies began to pile up. And all 93 of those students were killed because they stood for Jesus. But let me remind you, although that's a very sad story, you know that they have eternal reward. Because standing for Christ brings eternal reward. Can I say that again? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Standing for Christ, standing for Jesus, brings eternal reward. It brings eternal reward. God is looking for someone to fill an empty place, to live a life of holiness and defy the world's embrace, to count all things for loss, for the glory of the cross, a city on a hill for all the world to see. Stand for Jesus, don't be ashamed. Stand for Jesus, claim His name, for He loved you on a rugged cross, with arms held open wide. Stand for Jesus, He's standing by your side. Stand for Jesus. Stand for Jesus. There's a young man, preacher's son. His name was Dudley Atkins Ting. Dudley Atkins Ting. His father was a preacher. And this young man decided that God wanted him to preach. So what he did was he went to college, Bible college, and studied there. This is back in the 1800s. He went to Christian college, Bible college, studied to be a preacher, and then went back and worked for his father at the church as an assistant. Well, 2 years after that, at the age of 29, his father resigned the church and retired, and he took over that church. It was a big, wealthy church in Philadelphia. This young man, Dudley Ting, was a pastor, 29-year-old pastor of this large, wealthy church in Philadelphia. Well, Dudley Ting was not the kind of preacher that pulled punches. Man, when he preached, he let it rip. He didn't back away from things. Man, he didn't compromise. When he preached the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and he went all the way. Preached hard. Preached what he believed, what the Bible said. Didn't back away from anything. And after just a year and a half, the members of that church, mostly some of the members that had been there for a long time and really weren't in it for the right reasons anymore, they heard this guy preach and they wanted him out. The former preacher's son, they wanted him out. They wanted to remove him. Well, he kept preaching hard. Finally, the Lord led this young preacher, Dudley Ting, to resign the church. The Lord was leading him. He couldn't really do anything else there. The Lord was finished with him at that church. Well, he left, started his own church, and began to build it. Began to preach the same way that he knew he should. And preached hard. Preached the whole truth. The whole Bible. Stood for Jesus. And he began to preach, and that church began to grow. And his style of preaching, not pulling any punches, preaching hard, preaching everything that God wanted him, that kind of preaching started to kind of make a buzz around town, around the city, around the state. People wanted to hear Dudley Ting preach. Want to hear him preach. I heard he didn't pull any punches. I heard he preaches hard. Man, the crowds began to flock to hear Dudley Ting preach. He started preaching not just on Sundays and during the middle week service, but he started preaching during the week at the YMCA, and he'd preach, and the crowd would come. There was one particular service. There were 5,000 men in attendance. 5,000 men in attendance. And he preached to them from Exodus chapter 10, verse 11, that says, "Ye that are men, go and serve the Lord." And he preached to these men. Over 1,000 of these men were converted, and many more made decisions to serve God. The sermon was said to be one of the most successful sermons of the time, of the era. And the city was being aroused spiritually, and there was a great awakening in this city. And God was starting to do something great through Dudley Ting, continuing to do something great. During that sermon that he preached that day to those 5,000 men, he said this. He said, "I must tell my master's errand. And I would rather that this right arm were amputated at the trunk than that I should come short of my duty to you in delivering God's message." In other words, he said, I would rather have my right arm cut off at the body than to not preach everything God wants me to preach. He was that honest. He had that much of a stand for Jesus. He preached that message. Man, God did a great work. Well, the following week, Dudley Ting went home to be with his family in the country. Just a little break. And he was home, and he went out to the barn one morning that next week. And the corn thresher was back in those days, obviously, there were not as many safety precautions, not as many safety features on these machines. They were big, and they had lots of gears, lots of blades. Well, this corn thresher was going. And he walked in there, and he began to walk up that inclined plane of this machine. He reached his hand up to pet one of his mules on the head. And as he reached up, his morning gown got caught in one of the gears. Long story short, his arm was severely, severely injured. The main artery was cut. And the median nerve was injured. And it was just severed. It was just messed up. Terribly mangled. Went to the hospital 4 days later. Mortification had set in. And they had to amputate his right arm, very close to the shoulder. 2 days later, he died. Dudley Ting passed away in the hospital. The newspapers gave a detailed account of his passing and his final words. One of Dudley Ting's last words in the hospital bed were to his father, his preacher father. And it was said that as he lay in that bed dying, his last few breaths, he grabbed his father's hand. He looked into his eyes and he said, "Stand up for Jesus, Father. Stand up for Jesus. Tell my brethren of the ministry, wherever you meet them, to stand up for Jesus." He passed, went to be with his Savior, and left this world. Shortly thereafter, there was another preacher named George Duffield. And he had known Dudley Ting. And he heard the story of his final words. He heard those final words that he said to his father. And it moved his heart. Moved his heart. And he preached that Sunday to his people. He preached a message from Ephesians 6:14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, And he said to his people, Ting was one of the most noblest, bravest, and manliest men I've ever met. And he preached Ephesians 6:14, stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Then George Duffield told his people, he said, I've written a poem. The story of Dudley Ting has moved my heart so. And as I close my message tonight, I want to read you this poem that I wrote. And that was George Duffield read his congregation a poem that he'd written. And the poem went like this. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day. Ye that are men, now serve him. Against unnumbered foes, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. And that poem was written by George Duffield. Shortly after that, a hymn writer saw that poem and took the tune of a secular song written for a showboat and put it to these words that we sing, that most churches sing very often all over the world from this one man, Dudley Ting, who stood for Jesus. And he decided in his heart, he wasn't going to back down from anything. He was going to preach what God wanted to preach. He was going to do what God wanted him to do and stand for Jesus Christ. And Psalm 106:31 says about Phinehas, that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. And because of what Dudley Ting stood for, who was the Lord Jesus Christ, his story has lived on through ages in that song. And counted forevermore righteousness because he stood for Jesus. Church tonight, Loomis Park Baptist Church, please hear me when I say that standing for Christ brings eternal reward. Standing for Jesus brings eternal reward. I spent most of the time on this point because I believe that if we have this point in order and we have this point settled in our hearts, that the remaining three won't be as difficult. You know, if you truly stand for Jesus, you won't have a problem doing number two, which is stand for God's Word. If you can stand for Jesus, you won't have a problem with standing for God's Word. You won't have a problem with standing for the Bible, for the words that God says. You won't have a problem standing for what the Bible says. If someone comes to you and says, hey, I believe hell's not real, hell's nothing, hell's here on earth. Or they say, hey, being a good person, that's what gets you to heaven. Hey, if you are standing for Jesus, you won't have a problem standing for God's Word and saying, hey, wait a second, that's not what my Bible says. That's not what God said. God said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible also says in Romans that there is none righteous, no, not one. Someone could say, oh man, I've been trying to pay my bills and the Lord just doesn't care about me. He's not supplying for me anymore. He doesn't want to supply for me. You can say, hey, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need. Standing for God's Word. Standing for the Bible. Stand. Not only stand for the Bible, but stand on the Bible. Standing on the Bible. Not only reading it, but believing it. It's very easy to read the Bible, but not believe it. Not truly believe it. Oh, you can say, oh, I believe the Bible. But do you really believe it? Do you really believe the Bible? So that if in your life you say, oh, no one's there for me. No one's there for me. No one cares about me. I'm brokenhearted and nobody cares. You can say, oh, wait, the Bible says in Psalms, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. That's standing on the Bible. That's standing on the promises of God. When you say, oh, God just doesn't hear me. God doesn't care about what I have to say. You can go back to Jeremiah 33:3 that says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When you say, oh, nobody loves me. You can say, wait a second, wait a second. There's a verse, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible also says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So we can't say, nobody loves me, because God's Word says that He does. And if we're standing on God's Word, we'll believe those things. We'll believe it. We know the song in the hymn book, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. What a great song that. You know the man who wrote that song? His name was R. Kelso Carter. He wrote that song as a young man. He was a great athlete as a young man. Well, he was also a great scholar, a great student. And he wrote the words to that song and he wrote the music to that song. What a great song. One of my favorites in the hymn book, Standing on the Promises. Kelso Carter later in his life said, you know, when I wrote that song as a young man, I didn't really understand what I was writing. I didn't really believe what I was writing. It wasn't until he was an older man and he was stricken with a health condition that left him unable to walk. And the doctors told him he'd never walk again. To where he really truly began standing on the promises of God. He said it wasn't until that time, that crisis in his life, to where he finally realized how important it was to stand on God's Word. And praise God, standing on God's promises and praying brought him out of that health condition and he did walk again. The Lord led him. But he didn't truly realize it until he went through something like that. And the words of that song are so true. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Second verse says, standing on the promises. Don't miss this. That cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, the last verse, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Do you believe them? Do you believe the promises of God? Stand on God's Word. And not only stand on it, like I said before, but stand for God's Word. Stand for it. Man, go ahead and read Fox's Book of Martyrs. And see folks, Christian martyrs, who stood for God's Word. Folks like William Tyndale, who translated the New Testament over in Europe. And began to publish it out to people. And people finally got their hands on a copy of God's Word. And it wasn't just the Catholic Church reading it. They got to read it themselves. And people got mad. And many of you know the story of what happened. They began to try getting him to stop publishing. And they took all of his books, all of his Bibles and burned them. And he kept going. He kept going. He kept standing for God's Word. Till finally he was arrested. And he was put on the stake. And instead of recanting and giving up what God called him to do, he kept going. And as the smoke billowed up around him, instead of screaming and crying and recanting, instead he said, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. And he died there at the stake. Because he stood for God's Word. He stood for God's Word. He stood for it. Some may call it foolish. Some that it's absurd. Still we choose to live our lives upon God's holy word. We know it's always perfect. We trust it in all things. It's holy and it's right. So whatever this life brings, we stand on what is timeless. We stand on what is true. We stand unashamed, no matter what the world may do. We stand upon this rock, spoken by the Lord above. And though other lives built on sand may fall, we stand. It may not be in fashion, it may not be in vogue. But when we look at empty lives, all around will know. We could live pursuing power, thinking pleasure satisfies. God's light cuts through the shadow, revealing they're just lies. We stand on what is timeless. We stand on what is true. We stand up unashamed, no matter what the world may do. We stand upon this rock, spoken by the Lord of all. No other lives built on sand may fall. We stand. We stand. Stand for God's Word. Because standing for God's Word, standing for Jesus, will bring eternal reward. Eternal reward. Like I said, if you stand for Jesus, you won't have a problem standing for God's Word. And if you don't have a problem standing with God's Word, standing for God's Word, then you won't have a problem with number three, standing for God's man. Standing for your pastor. Hey, if your pastor is preaching God's Word, which we know he does, and he's preaching God's Word, and God's Word, if we're standing for God's Word, then we're standing for Jesus. Hey, we won't have a problem standing for your pastor. Because when you stand for Jesus, then you can stand for God's Word. If you stand for God's Word and the pastor of your church is standing for God's Word, hey, then you can stand for your pastor. The man that God has placed here for a reason, for such a time as this, you won't have a problem standing for him, defending him. Not only standing for him, but standing with him in decisions that he makes, decisions that I know he prays about. I know that he seeks God's guidance on decisions that he makes for this church. And if you believe that, and if you believe that he's God's man for this church, you won't have a problem standing with him. Won't have a problem standing with him. Decisions he makes, stands that he may take. And when someone says something negative about him, if they ever do, hey, you can stand up and defend him because, hey, you're standing for your pastor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can turn there if you'd like. Maybe it's good to underline these verses. I've underlined in my Bible about standing for your pastor in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 12 it says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves." Standing for your pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Standing for your pastor. Standing for your pastor, because standing for your pastor will bring eternal reward. If your pastor is God's man, which I know he is, and he's preaching God's word, which we know he is, hey, if you stand for him and stand with him, eternal reward. Eternal reward. I hope you want that. Standing for your pastor brings eternal reward. Standing for God's word brings eternal reward. Standing for Jesus brings eternal reward. We know of Aaron and Hur, who when Moses, the battle was going on with the Israelites, and Moses realized that every time his arms were lifted up, Israel would get the victory and Israel would prevail in the war, that Aaron and Hur, instead of standing off the sidelines, watching Moses get tired, watching Moses get discouraged, instead they walked over to him and he lifted his arms up on either side and helped their man of God that was there with him. And folks, I know you do, and I'm so glad for folks who come on Wednesday night and support their pastor and support this church. But please, I beg you, continue to stand for your pastor like Aaron and Hur, who lifted their arms up. Do your best to lift the arms of your pastor, because standing for your pastor will bring eternal reward. Standing for Jesus makes it easier to stand for God's word, which makes it easier to stand for your pastor, which lastly, if you have no problem with those first three, then the last one will be no problem either. And that's standing for right. Standing for right. Stand for right. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." The best way to stand for right is to simply do right. The best way to stand for right is to simply do right. Standing for righteousness, standing for holiness, standing for what God's Word says, which is righteousness. God's Word is righteousness. God's Word tells us how we need to live our lives. Standing for right. Even in the issues of our day, homosexuality and gay marriage and abortion, and obviously we know we need to stand for those things. And defend what God's Word says about them. Stand up as Christians. We need people to know that we stand for what's right. We need them to know. They need to know that Loomis Park Baptist Church stands for right. Maybe at your job, they need to know that you stand for right. And you say, oh, it's hard. It's hard to stand for right. People won't like me. People will make fun of me. People won't want to hang around me or talk to me because I have a different conviction than they do. And it's just, it's hard to do that. How about those four young men who stood for right? Oh, I know a story. I know a story. You probably know it too. Of four young men. And there was a king over them. And he made this golden image. And he set it up. And he said, hey, when the music starts playing, everybody's got to bow down and worship it. But there were four young men, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, who said, hey, I don't think we're going to do that. That doesn't work for us. Sorry. And when the music began to play, instead of kneeling down like everybody else, they stayed standing and they stood for right and they stood for Jesus Christ and they stood for righteousness. Oh, and that's a lot harder than getting made fun of because they got thrown in the fiery furnace. But we know that God protected them. And standing for right will bring eternal reward. Standing for right will bring eternal reward. There are forces in the world today who oppose our Christian faith. They attempt to destroy everything that's holy and control what preachers say. But God still has a few good men who won't bend, won't bow, won't burn. They will fight till the end to defend our faith until the day that the whole world learns. There are things we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book and the blood and the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. Though the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground. Despite what the non-believers say, our God has never changed. His word still means everything it says. It is now and forever the same. The world may think they have won this fight, but there are still those who can be found. They will fight to the end to defend our faith. We will stand our ground. There are things we won't give over. There are things worth fighting for. The book, the blood, the rugged cross. One faith, one way, one Lord. Though the world and the flesh and the devil press on, and they will. Though the world and the flesh and the devil press on and try to tear our strongholds down, we will stand our ground. Standing for right. Standing for right. Because standing for right, folks, standing for right will bring eternal reward. Standing for Jesus, standing for God's word, standing for your pastor, standing for right, it's going to bring eternal reward. Eternal reward. Because honestly, and you know this, praise the Lord that there's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears in the eye. We're going to be face to face with Jesus one day. But how sad it would be if we had the first time we finally see Jesus face to face and we didn't stand for Him. We didn't stand for Him. We didn't do what He wanted us to do. And instead of being able to rejoice, and I know heaven will be all rejoicing, but please, for sake of the illustration, just imagine if the first time you had to face Jesus, instead of Him thanking you for taking a stand, instead of Jesus saying, oh, thank you so much for taking a stand for me. Thank you so much for being who I wanted you to be. Thank you for doing what I wanted you to do. Thank you for being in the church that I wanted you to be in. Thank you for standing for me and for my word and for your pastor. Instead of that, what else is there to say? Oh, we're going to face Jesus one day. And praise God for saints who've been in it for so long and been in church and been serving God and loving God. Praise the Lord. But anybody can mess up. Anybody can mess up. Oh, I know that I have, Lord willing, more time to mess up than some folks in the room today. But maybe the decision tonight isn't only, I'm going to start standing for Christ. I'm going to start standing for God's word. But instead, I'm going to make sure I dedicate yet again that I'm going to continue to stand for Jesus. I'm going to continue to stand for His word. I'm going to continue to stand for and with my pastor, no matter what. And I'm going to continue to stand for right. That's the decision that needs to be made tonight. on this Wednesday night, June 20th. Oh folks, the time is coming soon to where the piano, the organ will begin to play and the invitation will begin. And if you'd like to leave this church unchanged, seated in your Christian life, it's not my call. But if you can say in your heart, you know what? I'm going to rededicate or just remind God that I'm going to continue to stand for Him. I'm going to kneel at this altar and say, God, I mean business. I'm going to stand for You. I'm going to stand for Your Word till the day I die. I'm going to stand for my pastor, and I'm going to continue, no matter what happens, to stand for light. Maybe some of you in the room say, I haven't made that decision yet. I never really have made a stand for Christ, truly, and I need to make sure that tonight I make that decision. Because standing brings eternal reward. Standing for Jesus brings eternal reward. Standing for God's Word brings eternal reward. Standing for your pastor brings eternal reward. And standing for right brings eternal reward. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Please stand together.